The city of Wichita Falls believes the Carter PAV means jobs. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for the download. Today, we're wrapping up a conversation I started yesterday with Jay Carter Jr. of Carter Aviation Technologies. The company last year signed a 40-year licensing deal with Textron's AAI division for its slowed rotor compound technologies for use in military and commercial unmanned aircraft. And Carter needs to develop the civilian personal air vehicle as part of that plan. The city of Wichita Falls, Texas, the longtime home of the company, has stepped up to make sure the company and the jobs that come with development stay at home. The Wichita Falls Economic Development Corporation has signed a deal to provide $4 million in interest-free loans, which will be forgiven as 8 development milestones are met. Jay, to the extent you can, tell us what those milestones are. What does Carter need to achieve to satisfy the terms of this deal?
Well, they kick in, of course, whenever we get a firm order. So one of the milestones is when we get a firm order for one of the aircraft, and that's already occurred. So that's one milestone that we've received with the firm order from AAI. The next is when the aircraft first flies as a gyro. So that would be another milestone. Another milestone when it flies as a slowed rotor compound. Another milestone whenever it achieves certain performances as a slowed rotor compound. There's another milestone when they place the second order for the aircraft. So right now, you know, first things they want to see the aircraft fly, and then they paid for one, or they put a deposit on one. And I expect that sometime after the aircraft is flown here, at least as a gyro, we'll probably get an order for a second one. And that'll trigger another milestone payment. Another milestone payment has to do with the number of employees that we've hired. So once we've hired a certain number of employees, that'll trigger another milestone. And then when we hire some more employees, that'll trigger another milestone. So that ends up being the 8, as I recall, that should be about 8 milestones that we receive funding from the city of Wichita Falls.
Okay, now I got to ask you a couple of personal questions, because this is a really interesting point for you to reach and what you set out to do. You have always said that Carter Aviation Technologies wanted to be a technology development company and not a production or retailer of aircraft. It looks now like you're going to be involved to some extent in both, but how sweet is it at this point in your career to be working with Bell Helicopter in kind of the opposite relationship you were when you first started out in your career, and have all these guys validating and recognizing the things that you've worked this hard for so long?
Well, it actually is really wonderful. To be able to talk to them, and they've got lots of capabilities there. So we bounce ideas. Basically, we still do all the design work and everything, but it's really nice to have them, you know, to critique the design, to come up with some ideas, and they do. They come up with some good ideas, and of course, when we want to do some specific, like do some fan laws, you know, to actually determine what the natural frequency of the rotor is at different RPMs and stuff, and go through and determine what the natural frequency of the drive system and all the way through to the rotor to make sure we don't have a problem before we ever even test it. And then, of course, then to supply all the strain gauge, all the instrumentation, all the telemetry, just having all that, you know, available and helping us is wonderful, because I don't have to worry about that. You know, I can focus on the aircraft and designing and getting the aircraft built, and they take care of kind of critiquing, just to make sure that we're not making any mistakes. And, you know, I'm not too concerned about that just because we've been through it, and a lot of people may not realize it, but we flew for 7 years. And so we went through a lot of development, and we learned a whole lot. And so I've never had any doubts about what this aircraft's going to do and, you know, and some of the issues. But nevertheless, it is still nice to have Bell there kind of going through, just kind of doing a double check, just doing a sanity check, because we could miss. I mean, there's no question we could miss. And so anyway, that's comforting to me, and it's comforting to me to not have to worry about funding. Mm-hmm. You know, truly, over the, you know, we've been in business for 16 years and never sold a product, and that's a pretty tough thing to have done, is to stay in business that long, basically on a research and development type thing. And so it is required of me a lot of time just out raising money. So I've spent probably 50% of all of our time, my time, has been just raising money. So with this arrangement, I can focus on the engineering and getting the thing built. And that is, that's a whole lot more fun.
You know, I talked to you a couple months ago, Jay, when you did the winter webinar series for the Utah Rotorcraft Association, and you mentioned that back in the day when you were working briefly for Bell Helicopter in your early days, your interest in composite technology and a difficulty in getting the company interested in it. Do you get a sense from any of the guys you're working with that this is a welcome kind of breath of fresh air in the big corporate environment that can sometimes be suffocating to be working on something this cutting edge from their point of view?
I can tell you the guys there are all really excited about working on this project. There is no, there's no shortage of volunteers of people who would like to work on this project, even to the point of some test pilots and stuff have made inquiries about whether, you know, the test pilots could get involved in some way or something. So I think this is exciting, and I think there are some people within Bell that are excited about this technology and really excited about being involved in it. I mean, this is a lot of fun. You know, we start doing the flight testing and stuff on an aircraft that potentially could fly very, very fast. You know, this is fun stuff.
In a moment, what about the personal air vehicle? Will there really come a day when almost anyone can fly to work? More with Jay Carter in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Jay Carter of Carter Aviation Technologies about slowed rotor compounds and what they will or will not mean to our future. Let me ask you something about the personal air vehicle concept as kind of a separate thread here, because I know a lot of what you have talked about in terms of the use of the personal air vehicle somewhat parallels NASA's Highway in the Sky concept, in that much of the work, pilot-specific workload in today's aircraft will be done by the system or by computers in the future. There are a number of people who still are concerned that we don't want thousands and thousands of flying cars, so to speak, and I realize your concept's a little different from that. But do you still see that as a big part of the future for the industry in general and for Carter as a specific company?
Well, absolutely. I think our aircraft is perfect for that. the ability to go from point to point, not airport to airport, but really point to point. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to be able to go right to their driveway or to their house, because there's going to be zoning and stuff like that that's going to be to keep that from happening. But I think there will be heliports that just start popping up everywhere. You know, people will, you know, our aircraft we designed so the wings will fold, and you wouldn't maybe get out on an expressway, but you could certainly taxi, you know, safely and, three, 4 miles or something to a heliport where you could take off. And a lot of people do, of course. I think we'll start moving more to the country, or moving into areas where they can really store it in their garage and then pull it out and just take off from their front driveway. So, you know, I think that is going to happen. I do. That is going to happen. One of the things that we have done and spent a lot of time with is actually trying to make this thing as quiet as we can. The propeller, you know, is a real large cord, which means that we can run the tip speed at a much lower velocity than other propellers, just because we're so inherently lightweight, we can do things like that. And that inherently makes it quiet. Of course, we developed a really neat propeller scimitar design so that it kind of tricks the air into thinking it's not really as high tip speed. And so there's a lot of stuff we've done to really make the prop very quiet. Of course, the rotor blade itself, you know, turns at a very low RPM when we are when we're in cruise, and of course, even when we're in slow flight, it's still a relatively low RPM versus a helicopter. Mm-hmm. The only time that we have a high tip speed is when we do the jump takeoff, and that lasts for maybe 5 seconds on the initial takeoff. Maybe 10 seconds. It depends, but how high you took it up to start with and how aggressive of a jump takeoff that you want to do. I mean, if we take this all the way to maximum 400 RPM at gross weight, we're going to jump 170 feet in the air mm-hmm. at sea level standard day. Well, it's not necessary for us to normally to spin the rotor up and to jump that high in the air. And when I say 170 feet, I'm talking 170 feet with the engine dead, killing the engine immediately on takeoff, and mm-hmm. we can jump 170 feet in the air. So if the engine's running and we accelerate forward, we become much more efficient, and now we're talking 350 feet that we can get in the air before the rotor has slowed down to its normal operating RPM. It's just such an incredible amount of energy stored in the rotor that most people cannot even envision how much it is. So most of the time, we won't need to do that. We'll only spin up to maybe 325 RPM or something and jump 50 feet in the air. And so there, things will be very quiet, with the idea that, you know, we can put this in communities and it's not going to be objectionable to people.
Well, I think even if it's a number of years before everybody moves out to the country, you may be talking about influencing different design in office parks.
Yeah. Yep.
This would be a great...
It's going to happen, Paul. It really is. It's going to happen. This aircraft has got some avionics and stuff in it that, God, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you just could only dream about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, virtual reality screens where you can look at a screen and it's just like looking out the windshield and weather in the cockpit, and a God's view looking down on top where you can actually see where you are relative to the terrain. And it's pretty amazing. I mean, you know, and an autopilot that basically can just take you wherever you want to go. If you lose an engine, if you fall asleep, if you have a heart attack, if you're disabled in some way, it has the capability to fly to that airport. If you run out of gas, it has the ability to go and find the airport that's closest and go land at that airport right in the middle of the runway. And if there's not a runway or something close by, then it's going to find a flat piece of land, and it's going to land on that flat piece of land. And right now we don't have that capabilities, but it's not long before it will be able to distinguish between whether there's trees there or buildings there and whether it's a nice area to land, and it'll make those decisions for you. So, and of course, with the autogyro itself and a low disloading, you know, if you come down at the speed about 40 miles an hour where your lowest sink rate is, you know, we have a landing gear that has got so much energy absorbing capability that we could close our eyes and in the middle of the night or whatever, we could come down, and as long as we didn't hit a building or hit a tree or fall off of a cliff, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have to flare. We could just come right in, and it's not going to hurt the aircraft or the people in it. So these are some really nice features that when we start demonstrating this, I think it's going to get the attention of people, and I think there's just a huge market for this.
Well, Jay, it's always fun to talk to you because you're excited and you're at a point where a lot of your dreams seem to be coming true. We appreciate the work that you've done over the years and for that matter that your dad has done to lay the groundwork for what Carter Aviation Technologies has done. And we look forward to watching this project and catching up with you again to watch those milestones go by.
Yeah, well, it's certainly taken us a lot longer, but we've never lost faith that we could do this. So now we're getting closer to really being able to demonstrate it.
It's certainly worth noting that there are other companies out there which have spent years raising money to do research and development. Many of them have what look like terrific ideas, and it's been tough to see some of them fold up shop during the recession. All the more credit due to Jay and his team for bringing this one to fruition. Jay Carter Jr. is the founder, CEO, and principal designer of Carter Aviation Technologies. Find out more at cartercopters.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.